Blog Talk Radio.
Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it. Sing out. Let it.
Before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord. Before the Lord of all the earth, the heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all people will see his glory. Oh, we want to see your
Hallelujah. You are live. This is the Prophecy at the Midnight Hour. We're broadcasting out of Rockville, Maryland, live on July 9th, 2014 at 7:03 Eastern Standard Time. This is the Prophecy of the Four Apocalyptic Horsemen. And welcome all the wonderful and precious listeners back throughout the United States and the globe. This is the Prophecy of the Four Apocalyptic Horsemen, the Pale Horse. This is the direct revelation from our Lord in heaven to the church. And this will be presented, the message this evening, by the Lord's mighty prophet, the bondservant of the Lord, Dr. David Awar. And we will hear from the mighty prophet as he gives the message and the revelation directly from the throne of God on the pale horse of the apocalypse. We've covered in earlier segments the white horse where the Lord clearly showed the church, beware, be cautioned, be sternly forewarned. It is the horse of deception. These are the days of deception, and we see deception running rampant all throughout the church. And as Jesus gave the prophecy in Matthew 24 to the apostles in private on the Olivet Discourse, this was the message clearly to warn the church not to be deceived, and that deception would be one of the hallmarks, one of the highlights, the sign of the birth pangs of the coming of the Messiah. And we see false prophets, false apostles, false teachers all throughout the land in the United States of America, as well as the globe, and a babbling of voices where we hear from the rumor court, the speculation court, and all sorts of pet theories that have nothing at all to do with the kingdom of God and nothing at all from the voice of the mighty Holy Spirit. We covered also in the prior segment, we heard the red horse and the black horse. This is the mighty prophet prophesied in 2008, the black horse of economic crisis, of economic famine, and dropped in there as well a deeper revelation, which the Lord will share in the message of the Lord on the oil and wine church. This is the voice from the throne of God, where the Lord says, do not hurt the oil and the wine. And that deeper revelation is coming also in the prophecy of the four apocalyptic horsemen. For this evening's segment, we will cover the pale horse from the message of the Lord. This is the rider of death. This is the rider of where Hades is following close behind. In the studio this evening, by phone, we are blessed to have Pastor Jose Bobadilla from the California altar. And Pastor Jose, what would you like to share as a precursor and a preamble to the precious listeners throughout the United States as they hear and see in real time the prophecy and the prophecies of the Lord and the book of Revelation coming to pass before our very eyes and spoken by his mighty bondservant, the one who speaks for God, the mighty prophet, Dr. David Awar. Pastor Jose.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Lou. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, precious listeners, precious saints of the Most High God that are tuned in to this program, this is the Lord's message to the nations, to the United States of America, to all those that are tuned in at this hour, seeking the Lord wholeheartedly, that are seeking the Lord because they can't find the desires of the heart in the ways of the world, because they are tired of the world system, because they are seeking the heart of the Lord. This is the message that fills that gap. The Lord is here with us. Heavens are open. Our the Lord has sent us his mighty prophet to reveal his word, the Lord's word, at this hour to the church, to his church, the church that he is building, the church of the mighty Lord God, the Lord God of Israel, the Lord God of Elijah, of Moses, of Daniel, of Isaiah. The altars of the Lord are being restored. To those who are receiving this message of repentance, and they are reaping the harvest of this powerful message of repentance, which is so powerful. And this is the message that was spoken in Matthew 24, that when this message is shared throughout the nations, then the Lord will return. This is the message, and it is going to all the nations, from one side of the globe to the other. And we who have been allowed to see and who accept this voice, which is the voice of the Holy Spirit, and who have tuned everything, every other voice out, which we clearly know that it's the white horse, the deception horse, the deception that is running rampant right now throughout God's people, who is destroying the hearts of those who are being deceived. As we have heard the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins, and the revelation that the Lord has given to his church is that the wise and the foolish churches at this hour are two very similar churches sharing a very similar message, which to the fleshly ears and to the fleshly eyes would be identical. The only difference between these two churches, these two groups of virgins, is the oil, which is the Holy Spirit. One and only one of them is receiving directly from the Lord, directly from the Holy Spirit. And that is the oil and the wine church. The other church is running from every other dream and vision that goes out on the internet, running to the world seeking to find the message, but they are not receiving from the Lord, as we know that the Lord's message is firm and is clear and is always confirmed by his word. And that messenger must always point to the holiness of the Lord, must always preach holiness, because our God is holy without sin, always points to the righteousness and to the garments that must be prepared at this hour. There is no falseness in the servants of the Lord. That will be exposed to those who are walking on the highway of holiness, as no wild animals will be allowed on that path. I want to share from the word of the Lord, Pastor Lou, if we have a bit of time.
Oh, amen, and Pastor Jose.
And I would like to share, if possible, the whole chapter of Romans chapter 6.
Oh, the listeners must hear. They must hear it.
Amen. This is Romans chapter 6, precious saints. Shall we say then, shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like this. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. The life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God, though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin, have become slaves to righteousness. I am using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we cannot continue abusing the grace. Thank you, Pastor Lou.
Oh, amen. I didn't mean to cut you off, Pastor Jose. Go ahead.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
This abusing of grace, this lack of holiness, teaching and walking, this lack of righteousness, this isn't new. This is what our Lord and Savior commanded. This is what the apostles commanded, be it from Genesis to Revelation. Go ahead, Pastor Jose.
Oh, I was done, Pastor Lou. Thank you so much.
Oh, amen. Pastor Jose was reading from Romans. That was Romans chapter 6. And as you heard, throughout all of Romans chapter 6, very, very consistent theme that we don't have grace to abuse and sin all we want to. In fact, we have grace to overcome sin. We do see this consistent thread of our Lord from Genesis to Revelation. We see it in the book of Revelation when the Messiah commands the churches to repent, and where he says, to him who overcomes. And we see that consistently. We have the grace of the Lord, the mighty Holy Spirit, to overcome sin. We see it again from our Lord and Savior when Jesus, in Matthew 5, in Matthew chapter 5, 27 through 29, and the Lord raises the bar even higher than the law, where sexual sin and adultery is the lust in the heart, which is even higher than the law of Moses. And so it is, as we read through and just heard in Romans, and again through the mighty Holy Spirit, we have the grace to overcome sin. The church has been teaching grace in a diluted gospel to accommodate sin, but the Lord has a zero tolerance, zero tolerance to sin. And so he's given us the mighty Holy Spirit to sanctify us, and given us the helper, as we read also in the last segment in John chapter 10, the mighty Holy Spirit, that we're not left orphans. He will enable us to overcome. For without that deliverance, how else would the church walk in righteousness and holiness, which is what the Lord commands? We see it all throughout the scriptures, Leviticus chapter 10 also, which we went through last week. Among those who approach me, I will be proved holy in the sight of all the people. I will be honored, says the Lord. That's Leviticus chapter 10, verses 2 through 3. That's verse 3 specifically. And with Nadab and Abihu, decided to offer unauthorized fire or strange fire, unholy fire, at the altar of the Lord, they were consumed on the spot. These are the ways of our Lord. There is no sin in him, and he has zero tolerance towards sin. That's why he sent the Messiah. That is the good news. We go back to the blood and the cross, which covers our sins, and the mighty Holy Spirit who enables us to overcome sin and walk in agreement with the Lord, just as Enoch walked with the Lord, just as Adam and Eve walked with the Lord at one time in full agreement in the garden. The Lord is enabling us today and calling us today to walk in agreement with the Lord, and this is exactly what we see also in Romans chapter 6, where we're no longer obedient to sin, but obedient to righteousness. Thank you so much, Pastor Jose, for sharing Romans chapter 6 with the listening audience. This is a powerful background and foundation, and the listeners might wonder, well, how does that tie into this dramatic prophecy and message of the Lord and the pale horse and the four apocalyptic horsemen? And if you missed the earlier segments, we shared that in the Bible, the Lord is preparing the end-time saints. The Lord is preparing the bride of Christ. It is an act of love that these days that we see the distress that wakes up all the virgins that are sleeping and then the wise virgins that are completely dependent upon the mighty Holy Spirit to navigate our way through, one, the wilderness of repentance, and navigate our way through as the Lord leads the church into the rapture. These four apocalyptic horsemen are the most important prophecy to the church that enters the rapture of the Lord, and it's designed to prepare us. And then for the world, it ripens the world for the coming of not-so-good things after the rapture, the days of the darkness and the horrific tribulation. Let's hear from the message of the Lord. This is part three and this is the revelation of the four apocalyptic horsemen. This is the pale horse, and I encourage the listeners to pay attention specifically to Syria again, which will be picked up, as well as the war and Iran. And one other note that is also worth writing down is Fukushima, and the Mighty Prophet refers to the horrific disaster that occurred in Japan and the Fukushima meltdown as well. So this is part three. This is the four apocalyptic horsemen, pale horse, and we'll be back.
Kwa farasi wa kijivujivu umenenwa vizuri kabisa.
In this ministry,
katika huduma hii,
especially after the Lord spoke with me that he was coming in a vision,
na hasa sana wakati Bwana alininenea ya kwamba anarudi katika maono,
and in that tremendous vision,
na katika hayo maono makuu,
of July 29th.
Ya July tarehe 29.
The year 2009.
Mwaka wa 2009.
And the Lord has taken me since then.
Na Bwana amenipeleka kuanzia wakati huo.
Across the different nations of the earth.
Kote kote katika mataifa mbalimbali ya dunia.
Speaking about he that was coming.
Nikinena juu ya yeye aliyekuwa anakuja.
The rider of the pale horse.
Mpanda farasi wa farasi wa kijivujivu.
And we see that when that prophecy was finally fulfilled.
Na tunaona ya kwamba wakati hatimaye unabii huo ulitimizwa.
In February 2011.
Februari mwaka wa 2011.
You can refer to the website where every detail is.
Waweza kurejelea kwenye mtandao ambapo kila kipengee kimewekwa pale.
Where every prophecy has been published.
Ambapo kila unabii umechapishwa.
But anyhow.
Lakini hata hivyo.
Ever since the release of the rider of the pale horse, he has taken his rounds across the earth.
Ameweza kufanya safari zake za hapa na pale kote kote duniani.
And you see in that literature I describe his facial appearance.
Na waona ya kwamba katika maandishi hayo ninaelezea sura yake ya uso.
And I talk about his deathly appearance.
Na ninanena juu ya sura yake yenye mauti.
And then I also speak about the horse that he rides.
Na pia ninanena juu ya farasi anayemuendesha.
But precious people.
Lakini watu wa dhamani.
Among the achievements that the rider of the pale horse has scored.
Miongoni mwa mafanikio ambayo mpanda farasi wa kijivujivu ameyapata.
I want to do a rundown.
Ninataka nikapate kuchunguza.
And then establish myself in discussing the case for Syria.
Alafu sasa nikajidhibiti pale katika kushughulikia kesi ya Syria.
We see very clearly.
Tuona kwa wazi kabisa.
That upon his release in Egypt.
Ya kwamba wakati wa kuachiliwa kwake kule Misri.
This angel of death.
Huyu malaika wa mauti.
Has brought tremendous death.
Ameleta vifo vikali zaidi.
And there is one thing that has become common.
Na kuna kitu kimoja ambacho kimefanyika jambo la kawaida.
In every land that he has run through.
Katika kila inchi ambamo amepita.
The carrying of a dead body.
Kubeba kwa mwili wa mufu.
The carrying of dead bodies.
Kubeba kwa miili ya wafu.
In coffins.
Katika masanduku.
And ever since the release of this most dreadful horseman, it has become obvious.
Imefanyika jambo la kawaida.
That death has befallen the face of the earth.
Ya kwamba mauti imeushukia uso wa dunia.
In one such case.
Katika kesi moja ya namna hiyo.
We see the killings that took place in Egypt.
Tunaona yale mauaji yaliyotendeka kule Misri.
That culminated with his release.
Ambayo yaliambatana na kuachiliwa kwake.
And in another case.
Na pia katika kesi nyingine.
We see the massive bloodshed that rocked Yemen.
Tunaona umwagaji wa damu mzito kabisa ambao ulishukia Yemen.
And Bahrain.
Na Bahrain.
Libya.
Libya.
And then finally we also see the case for Syria.
Alafu hatimaye pia tunaona ile kesi ya Syria.
I would like us to listen to some news clips.
Ningependa tukapate kusikia awamu fupi za habari.
On what is currently being reported on Syria.
Juu ya kile ambacho hivi sasa kinaripotiwa juu ya Syria.
Regarding the repercussions of the release of the pale horse.
Kuhusiana na yale anayotenda mpanda farasi wa farasi wa kijivujivu walipowachiliwa.
And then after that, I will summarize for you his achievements.
Na kisha baada ya hapo nitawaekeni katika mhutasari aliyofanikiwa nayo.
As we begin to get our bearing towards the most important message on Israel today.
Oh. Homs is Syria's third largest city. It's been the primary focus of attacks by the government. And what we're showing you right now are some of the neighbors specifically targeted by government tanks, rocket attacks, snipers in some cases.
What was remarkable also today was that the violence moved from opposition stronghold cities like Homs, like Zabadani, which have faced the wrath of the Syrian army, to the second city of Syria, Aleppo. There, these twin devastating bomb attacks that the Syrian government claims killed at least 27 people and more than 200 people actually wounded. They're accusing armed terrorists of carrying out this attack.
It's a menacing sight that many fear will bring death from the air. This video shows helicopters flying to Jisr al-Shagur, a town that's now controlled by Syrian army troops. They're still involved with fierce clashes with what they're calling armed groups. And this elderly man has been shot. But as the cries of "My God" go up, he dies. Another victim. Funerals are now an almost daily occurrence across the country, and yet more will be seen as the crackdown on anti-government protesters continues.
Rula, we've been saying all along that the violence is continuing in Syria, and the latest reports we're getting is that there's more fighting happening on the outskirts of Damascus. Just bring us up to date with the fighting inside Syria.
Yes, the situation on the ground in Syria is deteriorating very, very quickly, not only in terms of the government's measures against the protesters and the casualty numbers rising by the hour, but also in terms of how the conflict is turning into an armed conflict, sometimes between the army and defectors, sometimes between the army and some armed groups who feel that it's time to carry arms against the government and that's the only way to go. And so on the ground you see more and more people carrying guns, more blood on the streets and more casualty even among the security forces. And that's why on one hand some people on the street feel very desperate and now they are calling for international intervention. They want the Arab League to take more severe measures against the government. They want the Arab League to suspend Syria's membership in the Arab League in order to put more pressure on the regime, and they feel this is the only way out. On the other hand, the escalating situation is making some opposition more careful. They say they want this Arab land to be saved. They don't want the Arab League to drop it because that's the only way out. They want a smooth transition, a peaceful transition, and they feel if it means that they have to talk to the regime, they'll talk to the regime. But they need a way out because they fear a civil war and a very long, bloody conflict.
Mm. And one other development, Rula, a Lebanese man has been killed by a landmine that's been planted along the border. Now, these are landmines being planted by the Syrian military to, they say, stop the flow of arms into Syria from Lebanon.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So we see from those news clips,
kwa hivyo tunaona toka katika hizo awamu fupi za habari,
that the rider of the pale horse,
ya kwamba mpanda farasi wa kijivujivu,
has brought horrific death across the face of the earth,
ameleta mauti makali zaidi kote kote katika uso wa dunia.
And in considering the case in Syria,
na katika kuangazia tu kesi ya Syria,
Syria has now developed into a difficult case, a classic case of what the rider of the pale horse is capable of doing.
Syria sasa imefanyika kesi ngumu kabisa, na pia ni kesi mwafaka ya kukuonesha kila ambacho farasi, mpanda farasi wa kijivujivu anafanya.
And you see, even as the reportage has put it,
na waona hata kama vile zile reporti zimesema,
that death is a daily occurrence now in the land of Syria.
Ya kwamba mauti ni jambo la kila siku sasa katika nchi ya Syria.
And yes, indeed, if one is privileged to watch news events,
na kweli kabisa ikiwa mtu atatunukiwa kutazama habari,
then it's very common to see burials, dead bodies being carried on coffins, on stretchers, across the streets of Syria.
Basi ni kawaida kabisa kuona miili ya wafu, unaona masanduku majeneza ya waliokufa, wengine wamebebwa kwenye machela kote kote katika miji ya Syria.
And in other words, the Lord is saying, look.
Na kwa maneno mengine Bwana anasema kwamba tazama.
He has brought death, 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 and death.
Ameleta mauti, mauti, mauti na mauti.
It's very stunning.
Ni ya kushangaza sana.
That an army, an entire army of a nation like Syria.
Ya kwamba jeshi zima la taifa kama Syria.
Can turn against civilians.
Laweza kuwageukia raia.
And gun them down.
Na kuwalipua.
Including babies.
Hata watoto wachanga.
The rider of the pale horse.
Mpanda farasi wa kijivujivu.
Has also wreaked havoc.
Pia amesababisha machafuko.
He has brought havoc into Libya.
Ameleta machafuko kule Libya.
We are all familiar with the crushing, how the Libyans crushed each other with weapons until, you know, most recently.
Sote tuwakumbuka vyema kabisa jinsi wa Libya waliumizana na silaha hadi hivi majuzi.
Precious people.
Watu wa dhamani.
We see very clearly that even the United Nations is at a dilemma, it's at a loss to come out with any resolution or any solution.
Tuona ya kwamba hata Umoja wa Mataifa wameshindwa, wamekwama, hawawezi kujitokeza na suluhisho lolote.
And this speaks so bad about what is in the offing.
Na hii inanena vibaya kabisa kuhusu kile ambacho karibu kitatendeka.
Because the rider of this pale horse is called death.
Manake mpanda farasi wa huyu farasi wa kijivujivu anaitwa mauti.
And if the death, the horrific bloodshed he has brought across the Arab world.
Na ikiwa yale mauti makuu kabisa ambayo ameileta kote kote katika maeneo ya ulimwengu wa Arabia.
Is just the beginning of birth pains.
Ndio mwanzo tu wa utungu.
Then how much more death?
Na basi ni mauti ama kifo kikuu zaidi kiasi gani?
Is there going to be during the tribulation?
Kitakachokuwepo katika wakati wa dhiki.
And so the rider of the pale horse has done big, big damage on the earth.
Na kwa hivyo mpanda farasi wa kijivujivu amesababisha uharibifu mkubwa zaidi kwenye uso wa dunia.
And remember that the four horsemen work in concert.
Na kumbuka kwamba hawa wapanda farasi wanne wanafanya kazi katika makubaliano.
So their effects are actually more massive.
Na kwa hivyo athari zao sasa ni nzito hata zaidi.
But precious people, I want to turn pages now.
Lakini watu wa dhamani, ninataka kubadilisha kichwa sasa.
And I would like to talk about.
Na ningependa kunena kuhusu.
About this tremendous vision of April 2nd.
Juu ya haya maono makuu kabisa ya Aprili tarehe mbili.
And I'll describe it in a summary form.
Na nitaelezea kidogo katika mhutasari.
So we may be able to get our bearing into the war that's going to take place between Iran and Israel.
Ili ya kwamba tukapate mwelekeo wetu kuhusu vita hivi ambavyo vinaenda kutendeka kati ya Iran na Israeli.
In that April 2nd vision of the Lord.
Katika haya maono ya Aprili tarehe 2 ya Bwana.
The Lord lifted me up.
Bwana aliniinua.
And I found myself standing right before the throne of Jehovah in heaven.
Na nikajipata nikiwa nimesimama mbele moja kwa moja ya kiti cha enzi cha Jehovah mbinguni.
And as I was standing right before the throne of Jehovah in heaven.
Na nilipokuwa nimesimama mbele ya kiti cha enzi cha Jehovah mbinguni.
I saw the glory that covered the throne like a mountain.
Niliona utukufu uliofunika hicho kiti cha enzi kama mlima.
And then I saw the Lamb of God that was slain for the sins of man. The other part of that conversation is when the Lord presented John the Baptist on my right hand side to speak with me.
Wapendwa wasikilizaji, ni wakati alipowasilisha Yohana Mbatizaji upande wangu wa mkono wa kulia.
And he began, John the Baptist began speaking with me about the coming of the Messiah.
Na Yohana Mbatizaji akaanza kunena pamoja nami juu ya kurudi kwake Masia.
The Lamb of God.
Mwana kondoo wa Mungu.
That was slain for the sins of man.
Aliyechinjwa kwa ajili ya dhambi za mwanadamu.
And after that.
Na baada ya hapo.
there was a small separation between where I was standing at the throne of God.
Kulikuwepo na mgawanyiko kidogo katikati ya pale nilipokuwa nimesimama na kiti cha enzi cha Mungu.
And the glory of the Lord came from the throne and covered and bridged up. All I remember so well,
kile ambacho nakumbuka vyema kabisa,
is that when John the Baptist was speaking with me in that conversation,
ni ya kwamba wakati Yohana Mbatizaji alikuwa akinena pamoja nami katika mazungumzo hayo,
his garment was totally glorified,
mavazi yake yalikuwa yametukuzwa kabisa kamili.
And I remember that when I looked at my garment, it had been transfigured too.
Na ninakumbuka ya kwamba nilipotazama mavazi yangu, pia nayo yalikuwa yamegeuzwa.
And then at that time,
na kisha wakati huo huo,
the Spirit of the Lord lifted me up from there and took me to Israel.
Roho wa Bwana akaniinua toka pale na kunipeleka Israeli.
And once in Israel,
na nilipokuwa kule Israeli,
the Lord showed me that there was going to be a two-time change of leadership in Israel.
Bwana akanionyesha ya kwamba kwaenda kuwepo na mabadiliko mara mbili ya uongozi wa Israeli.
And the second change, when it takes place, it would be a right hardline, right wing hardline government.
Na mabadiliko ya pili yatakapotendeka, itakuwa ni serikali ya bawa la kulia.
And also,
na pia,
he showed me that change of government was going to be Benjamin Netanyahu.
Akanionyesha ya kwamba hayo mabadiliko ya serikali yatakuwa Benjamin Netanyahu.
And so ever since then, I went around and I've been prophesying that there is Benjamin Netanyahu 1, which had already taken place, and there would be Benjamin Netanyahu 2. After the second change of leadership in Israel,
baada ya mabadiliko ya pili ya uongozi Israeli,
then the Lord lifted me up and I found myself standing right before the throne of God Almighty again.
Kisha Bwana akaniinua na nikajipata mara tena nimesimama moja kwa moja mbele ya kiti cha enzi cha Bwana tena.
Then at that time the moon appeared right above the throne of God.
Na kisha wakati huo mwezi ukatokea moja kwa moja pale kwenye kiti cha enzi cha Mungu juu.
And when the moon appeared, the moon became totally covered with blood.
Na wakati ule mwezi ulitokezea, ukawa umefunikwa kamili kamili na damu.
And so the moon overcast its shadow on the earth, and I saw that the whole earth was bloody in appearance.
Na basi ule mwezi ukafunika dunia nzima na kivuli chake, na nikaona kwamba dunia nzima ilibadilika ikawa na rangi ya wekundu wekundu wa damu.
And then all of a sudden,
na kisha ghafla,
I saw the most powerful and most mighty glorious Lamb of God coming from the throne, from the glory at the throne. And when the Lamb of God was released to come from the throne of God,
na wakati mwanakondoo wa Mungu aliachiliwa aje toka kwenye kiti cha enzi cha Mungu,
he came all the way towards me,
akaja moja kwa moja mpaka mahali pale nilipokuwa.
And as he came, everything in a big perimeter turned absolutely glorious.
Na alipokuja kila kitu katika maeneo hayo mapana kikabadilika na kuwa cha utukufu kabisa kabisa.
And then immediately I woke up.
Na kisha ghafla nikaamuka.
And at that time,
na wakati huo,
till now,
mpaka wa leo,
then I began prophesying the coming of the Messiah.
Basi nikaanza kutabiri kuja kwake Masia.
And that there would be a two-time change of leadership in Israel.
Na ya kwamba kutakuwepo na mabadiliko mara mbili ya uongozi kule Israeli.
And then, after the two-time change of leadership in Israel,
na kisha baada ya mabadiliko mara mbili ya uongozi wa Israeli,
then the Messiah would come for the church.
Basi Masihi sasa atalirudia kanisa.
And so, It's amazing right now.
Na kwa hiyo inashangaza sana hivi sasa.
Because immediately I spoke that prophecy.
Manake mara moja tu niliponena unabii huo.
We now see very clearly.
Sasa tunaona kwa wazi kabisa.
That Ariel Sharon, who was at that time the prime minister.
Ya kwamba Ariel Sharon ambaye wakati huo alikuwa waziri mkuu.
He fell very sick and went into a coma.
Akawa mgonjwa kabisa kabisa na akapata koma.
Until this day.
Mpaka siku ya leo.
And that then gave way to the first change of leadership. And he was replaced by Ehud Olmert.
Na nafasi yake ikachukuliwa na Ehud Olmert.
When Ehud Olmert came in,
wakati Ehud Olmert alichukua usukani,
within a short time he was pronounced not well, not healthy.
Katika kitambo kifupi katangazwa kwamba hana afya njema, hayuko sawa.
And they mentioned prostate cancer.
Na wakataja ya kwamba ni prostate cancer.
And so after that,
na basi baada ya hapo,
we also saw the different scandals that followed, like corruption scandals.
Tuliona zile kesi zilizofuatia kama kesi za ufisadi.
And the court sessions.
Na pia zile awamu za kotini.
And then after that there was a second change of leadership in Israel.
Na kisha baada ya hapo pakakuwepo na mabadiliko ya pili ya uongozi Israeli.
And when the second change took place,
na wakati badiliko la pili lilitendeka,
indeed Benjamin Netanyahu won the election.
Kweli kabisa Benjamin Netanyahu akashinda huo uchaguzi.
And he became the prime minister of Israel.
Na akafanyika waziri mkuu wa Israeli.
Benjamin Netanyahu.
Benjamin Netanyahu.
And his foreign minister of foreign affairs,
na waziri wake wa mambo ya kigeni,
became Avigdor Lieberman.
Akafanyika Avigdor Lieberman,
who is considered actually to come from an extremely right-wing political affiliation.
Ambaye anatoka katika bawa la kulia ambalo ni kali kabisa katika mambo ya kisiasa.
And so it's incredible that the same shock that I saw in that vision.
Na basi ya shangaza ya kwamba mshtuko ule ule ambao niliona kwenye maono hayo.
When the nations of the earth were very surprised as to how they would engage the Israeli leadership for the peace talks. When the leadership is very, very conservative. But what is most stunning,
lakini kile cha kushangaza hata zaidi,
is that after the second change of leadership in Israel,
ni ya kwamba baada ya badiliko la pili la uongozi kule Israeli,
then the Lamb of God comes for the church.
Basi mwana kondoo wa Mungu analijia kanisa.
That second change has taken place.
Hilo badiliko la pili limetendeka.
Even right now as we speak, it has taken place.
Hata hivi sasa tunaponena limetendeka.
So precious people.
Na kwa hivyo watu wa dhamani,
I want now to tie this.
Ninataka sasa kuambatanisha hii.
To this tremendous war that is coming to Iran.
Kwa hivi vita vikuu kabisa vijavyo Iran.
That you may know.
Ili ya kwamba ukapate kujua.
That indeed time is over.
Ya kwamba ama kweli wakati umekwisha.
Precious people.
Watu wa dhamani.
In 2005.
Katika mwaka wa 2005.
On the 27th of September.
Katika tarehe ya 27 ya mwezi wa September.
While at Mbeya in Tanzania.
Nikiwa kule Mbeya, Tanzania.
The Lord showed me the tremendous dream of what was coming to befall the earth.
Bwana alinionyesha ndoto kuu kabisa ya kile ambacho kilikuwa kinaijia dunia.
And in that conversation,
na katika mazungumzo hayo,
the Lord showed me a nuclear facility which is by the foot of a mountain.
Bwana alinionyesha kituo cha nyuklia ambacho kiko chini ya mlima.
And at that foot of the mountain,
na mahali pale chini ya mlima,
then I saw two missiles fired.
Basi nikaona makombora mawili yamelipuliwa.
Again, two missiles were fired towards the nuclear facility.
Na mara tena, makombora mawili yalilipuliwa kulenga hicho kituo cha nyuklia.
And I see the behind part of the missile is kind of like copper. It's copper color.
Na ninaona ya kwamba sehemu ya nyuma kama mkia wa hayo makombora ina rangi ya copper.
And as the missiles go, they propel slowly like this.
Na wakati yale makombora yanasonga yakienda, kuna vile yanajiendesha polepole kwa namna hiyo.
So there is a propelling and a spinning of its tail.
Na kwa hivyo kuna kusukumika fulani na pia kuzunguka kiasi kwa mkia wake.
The tail that is copper-like.
Mkia ambao ni kama copper.
But what astonished me most.
Lakini kilichonishangaza zaidi.
Is when the missile struck the nuclear facility of Iran.
Ni wakati yale makombora yaligonga kile kituo cha nyuklia cha Iran.
At the foot of a mountain.
Chini ya mlima.
And so I saw a huge historic flame.
Na kwa hivyo nikaona moto mkubwa wa kihistoria.
That the earth has never seen before.
Ambao dunia haijawahi kuona tangu mwanzo.
And the flame is as though it begins from the east and goes all the way through to the west. And that fire.
Na huo moto.
Has small fires inside small fires that are kali like, small short fires that are kali like that, go all the way almost into the heavens.
Una miali midogo midogo ama mioto midogo midogo ndani yake kana kwamba inakunjana kiasi hivi na inaenda juu mpaka kule mbinguni.
And immediately after that,
na kisha mara moja tu baada ya hiyo,
after seeing the tremendous explosion.
Baada ya kuona ule mlipuko mkubwa ajabu.
That can only come from a nuclear explosion.
Ambao waweza kutokana tu na mlipuko wa kinyuklia.
The biggest explosion, the biggest flame that the earth has lived to see.
Mlipuko mkubwa zaidi, moto mkubwa zaidi ambao dunia imeishi kuona.
After that vision.
Baada ya maono hayo.
Then I immediately began to go across the world.
Basi mara moja nikaanza kwenda kote duniani.
Announcing that a historic war was coming to the earth.
Nikitangaza kwamba vita vya kihistoria viaja duniani.
Let us hear how the Lord announced across very many nations.
There is a very serious war coming to happen on planet Earth.
Na kuna vita ambavyo ni vya hatari sana vya kuja kutendeka katika dunia.
A type of war the earth has not seen before.
Aina ya vita ambavyo dunia haijawahi kushuhudia pale mbele.
I have seen it happening already.
Tayari nimekwisha kuiona ikitendeka.
It is going to happen somewhere between Europe and Africa.
Na inaenda kutendeka katikati ya Europa na Afrika.
The time has passed.
I want you to know that in 1948 end time began.
Nataka niweleze kwamba mwaka 1948 nyakati za mwisho zilianza.
That is when the nation of Israel was reformed.
Hapo ndipo taifa la Israeli liliumbika upya.
And that's why the Lord is showing me this thing.
Na ndio sababu Bwana anionyesha mambo haya.
I have also seen a nuclear war coming to the earth.
Pia nimeona vita vya kinuklia vikikuja kwa ardhi.
The servants of the Lord know what that means.
Watumishi wa Mungu wanajua hiyo ina maana.
And those of you that have listened some of the sermons.
Na wale ambao wamesikiza baadhi ya zile jumbe.
We have entered end time.
Tumeingia nyakati za mwisho.
I have seen the war coming to Iran also.
So Iran jengi
and I see two missiles, they are fired by Israel and they strike the nuclear facility in Iran.
A war coming to Iran. I have seen, remember the prophecy of September 2005?
September 2005,
I have seen there are two missiles.
I saw two missiles.
In fact, I see the end of the missile is like copper copper color. The color is golden copper. Copper, I think. And they spin like this as they have been fired. And they strike the nuclear facility that is next to the mountain in Iran.
Och de slår kärnkraftverket eller kärnkraftsframställningen som är nära ett berg i Iran.
I don't know whether they are nuclear missiles or what they are.
Jag vet inte om det är kärnvapensmissiler eller vad det är för någonting.
But the only thing I know.
Men det enda jag vet.
Is that the fire that comes from that explosion.
Att den eld som kommer ut ur den explosionen.
It begins from the earth and almost reaches heaven.
Den börjar från jorden och den når nästan upp till himlen.
And the fire that comes from that explosion.
Och den eld som kommer ut ur den explosionen.
In that vision I saw it went as far as east is as far as west is.
Och den gick så långt jag kunde se i den här visionen. Så långt som jag kunde se åt öster, så långt jag kunde se åt väster.
It will be also most historic.
Det kommer också bli väldigt historiskt.
Halleluja.
Hallelujah.
So we see very, very clearly.
Kwa hivyo tunaona kwa wazi kabisa kabisa.
Even me, I'm very stunned.
Hata nami nimeshangazwa sana.
That this is one prophecy.
Ya kwamba huu ni unabii mmoja.
That the Holy Spirit has pronounced extensively across the entire earth.
Ya kwamba huu ni unabii mmoja ambao Roho Mtakatifu ameutangaza kwa upana kote kote duniani.
I'm very amazed by the collection of all these prophecies that the Lord sent me to give across the entire earth.
Nimeshangazwa kabisa na kusanyiko la huu unabii wote ambao Bwana alinituma nikatabiri kote kote duniani.
That speaks very clearly about the centrality of Israel in this moment, in this end time.
Hiyo inanena vikuu zaidi juu ya ukatikati wa Israeli katika majira haya.
Because I'm indeed very astonished.
Manake bila shaka nimeshangazwa sana.
When I finally put together all these clips of the same prophecy.
Wakati hatimaye ninaweka pamoja awamu hizi za unabii huo mmoja.
Then I've realized that this is one particular prophecy that I've given extensively.
Na basi nimetambua ya kwamba huu ni unabii mmoja ambao nimeutoa kwa upana.
That means it can only be second to the prophecy on the coming of the Messiah himself.
Na basi hiyo inamaanisha kwamba waweza tu kuwa wa pili baada ya unabii wa kuja kwake Masihi mwenyewe.
But I want to share something now.
Lakini sasa nataka kushiriki jambo.
That is very, very critical.
Lililo nyeti sana sana.
Towards the coming of the Messiah.
Kuelekea kuja kwake Masihi.
In relation to this war.
Katika kuambatana na vita hivi.
You can see that as I began going around all over the globe.
Waweza kuona ya kwamba nilipoanza kuenda kote kote katika dunia nzima.
Pronouncing this coming of the horrific war.
Nikitabiri huku kuja kwa hivi vita vikali.
And you see in the nature of the description of the flames as I said.
Na unaona katika asili ya ule moto nilivyoelezea.
The description of the explosion that takes place in that war.
Maelezo ya mlipuko unaolipuka katika vita hivyo.
Something tells me.
Kuna kitu kinachoniambia.
That these two missiles that the Lord showed me in that tremendous vision.
Ya kwamba haya makombora mawili ambayo Bwana alinionyesha katika hayo maono makuu.
That they are actually nuclear missiles.
Ya kwamba kwa kweli ni makombora ya kinyuklia.
And so I think because Israel cannot take chance with Iran.
Na basi ninadhania ni ya kwamba kwa sababu Israeli haiwezi kufanya mzaha na Iran.
Israel actually fires two nuclear missiles that totally devastate the Iranian nuclear program. Extensive damage.
Sasa Israeli wanalipua makombora mawili ya kinyuklia ambayo kabisa kabisa inaharibu haribu kile kituo cha nyuklia cha Iran.
And today I am going to discuss with you some two very, very important wars that are very critical for this end time.
Na siku ya leo naenda kujadili pamoja nanyi vita viwili ambavyo ni nyeti sana sana katika haya majira ya nyakati za mwisho.
I am going to discuss with you the Israel-Iran war that
I am prophesying now.
Naenda kujadili pamoja nanyi vita vya Israeli Iran ambavyo ninavitabiri hivi sasa.
And I'm going to place it for you to position that war for you, to try to position it for you that you may understand just how close we are to the coming of the Messiah.
Na ninaenda kuwawekeni hivi vita katika nafasi yake ili kujaribu kukusaidia ujue ni katika ukaribu gani tumekaribia kurudi kwake Masia.
And then I am also going to discuss the war of Armageddon.
Alafu pia naenda kujadili vita vya Armageddon.
In Hebrew they say Har Megiddo, Har Megiddo, Har Megiddo. The Megiddo hills, there is a valley and a hill.
Na katika Kiebrania wanasema Har Megiddo.
So these two wars are very, very central in biblical prophecy. And today the Lord has allowed me to open them up because I'm involved in prophesying this first one, the Israel-Iran war.
Basi hivi vita ni vya kati tena vya shina zaidi katika unabii wa Biblia, maana ninahusika moja kwa moja katika kutabiri vita vya kwanza ambavyo ni baina ya Israeli na Iran.
I have seen people quoting me all across the web and different media saying that the man of God has said that the Israel-Iran war is post-rapture.
Nimeona watu wakininuku kote kote kwenye mtandao na katika habari mbalimbali wakisema kwamba nabii wa Mungu amesema vita vya Israeli-Iran ni vya baada ya unyakuzi.
I am going to resolve that today, tonight here.
Naenda kutatua hiyo leo hii hapa usiku huu.
But first of all, before I open up this and go into scripture.
Lakini mwanzo kabisa kabla nifungue hii na kuingia katika maandiko.
To tell you what does scripture, what scripture says about this Israel-Iran war.
Ili niwaambieni ni maandiko yepi yananena juu ya vita hivi vya Israeli na Irani.
Ever since I began going all over the globe giving this prophecy of the coming of this horrific war.
Tangia nilipoanza kwenda kote kote ulimwenguni na kutabiri kuja kwa hivi vita vikali sana.
Even before it appeared in the radar of the news networks.
Hata kabla tu kuanza kuonekana katika habari za mitandao za habari.
Then all of a sudden this began flashing in the news.
Basi ghafla hii ikaanza kupita pita kwenye habari.
And there are several news reportages that began to come out.
Na kuna ripoti mbalimbali za habari ambazo zilianza kujitokeza.
And what makes this kesha particularly most sensitive?
Na kile kinachofanya hii kesha kuwa makinifu hata zaidi?
Is because right now when one watches their news all over the globe.
Ni kwa sababu hivi sasa kote kote duniani ikiwa yeyote yule anaweza kutazama habari zake.
One finds that this war actually is about to happen. Finally is becoming a reality.
Mtu anatambua
any moment now.
Mtu anatambua ya kwamba hivi vita kwa kweli karibu vitendeke. Sasa limefanyika jambo halisia. Na kwa hivyo wakati wowote kuanzia sasa.
Any moment now that war will take place.
Wakati wowote sasa vita hivyo vitatendeka.
And in fact it's being described as 1 month from now, 2 months. It's incredible to see the manifestation, the realization, and the fulfillment of the words of my tongue in the global media.
Na unasikia wanaelezea wanasema mwezi moja kuanzia sasa, miezi miwili kuanzia sasa, na makweli limefanyika kuwa jambo halisia, kudhibitishwa na kutimia kwa unabii huo.
But what is the significance of this war to the church, to you the listeners?
Lakini je, umuhimu wa vita hivi ni upi kwako wewe msikilizaji?
But first of all, before I go into that final most important phase.
Lakini kwanza kabisa kabla niende katika hiyo awamu ya mwisho kabisa.
In defining to you biblically based on Bible scriptures.
Katika kuwaelezeni kibiblia kulingana na maandiko ya Biblia.
Where exactly that war is.
Ni wapi hasa vita hivyo
vinapatikana. And how important that war is.
Na hivyo vita ni vya muhimu kiasi kipi.
To the church.
Kwa kanisa.
And how telling it is.
Na vile ambavyo vina ujumbe.
To you the Christians now.
Kwako wewe kama Mkristo hivi sasa.
About how the proximity of the Lord's coming. How close.
Juu ya ukaribu wa kuja kwake Masia.
Let us first go to all the global media.
Wacha kwanza kabisa tuende katika vyombo vyote vya habari vya kote duniani.
I've only taken a few of them.
nimechagua chache tu miongoni mwa nyingi,
and find out how they are now reporting on this war and that is about to happen.
Na tusikie vile wanaripoti juu ya vita hivi na kwamba vi karibu kutendeka.
And remember,
na kumbukeni,
that the flames go as far as east is, almost coming to as far as west is.
Ya kwamba ule moto unawaka kama vile umbali wa magharibi ulivyo na mashariki.
And as far as the earth is towards as far as heaven is.
Na sawa na umbali katikati ya dunia na mbinguni.
That tells me that that is a nuclear war.
Na basi hiyo yanieleza kwamba hivyo ni vita vya kinyuklia.
And that also tells me that this war might engulf the entire Middle East.
Na hiyo yaniambia pia ya kwamba hivi vita vyaweza kuwezesha, vyaweza kuhusisha mashariki ya kati yote.
Let us first get the reportage from the television stations, then I'll read a few newspaper reportages from Israel and beyond, and then now I'll narrow with you down on the biblical principles, biblical significance of this war.
Wacha kwanza tusikie ripoti za televisheni mbalimbali juu ya vita hivyo, kisha nitawasomeni pia kutoka kwa magazeti mbalimbali ya Israeli, alafu hatimaye nitalenga hasa maana ya kibiblia inayohusiana na hivyo vita.
And when I will be able to do that,
na nitakapowezeshwa kufanya hivyo,
then I will essentially have accomplished the work for which the Lord sent me here tonight.
Basi kimsingi nitakuwa nimetamatisha kazi ambayo kwayo Bwana alinituma hapa usiku wa leo.
And blessed are you that have not slept.
This is CNN breaking news.
All right, there's breaking news coming out of the Pentagon about the possibility of an Israeli attack on Iran. Let's go right to our Pentagon correspondent, Barbara Starr. Barbara, what's going on?
Well, Wolf, we have now confirmed from a senior administration official, Defense Secretary Leon Panetta believes there is a strong likelihood that Israel may strike Iran's nuclear program sometime this spring. Why does the Defense Secretary believe this? The Israelis have been talking about a so-called zone of immunity. What the Israelis believe is that by this spring, that is their best chance to strike Iran's program with their weapons.
Want to get to another Fox News alert now. A new report raising the possibility that Israel is preparing to attack Iran and to carry out that attack within months. This now from the Washington Post, quoting Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta, who believes there's a strong likelihood, it writes, that Israel will strike Iran in April, May, or June before Iran enters what Israelis described as a zone of immunity to commence building a nuclear bomb, end quote.
A group of former CIA and military officials have written to President Obama to say they believe Israel is preparing to attack Iran this month. The experts explain Israel wants to launch a war suddenly and make it politically untenable for Obama to do anything other than further support to offer full U.S. military support.
The U.S. is moving thousands of its troops to Israel for a planned joint exercise. It comes against the backdrop of increasing tensions in the Persian Gulf over Iran's threat to block the crucial Hormuz Strait. Some analysts have voiced fears it could be part of a build-up to a military strike on Iran. Well, for further details, let's join our correspondent Paula Sleer. She is in Jerusalem. So these latest movements, should they be cause for concern?
Well, certainly people here are concerned by the latest developments. They come at a particularly sensitive time in the region as the American President Barack Obama has signed into law sanctions that will make it very difficult for countries to buy oil from Iran. Now, what we're hearing from the Israeli military is that it will reportedly be holding its biggest military drill ever with the United States. And what's important to note is that we're not talking here of only a military exercise. We're talking about the deployment of thousands of American troops into Israel. What we're hearing from both sides is that they will be testing various missile systems against rockets and against missiles. What we're hearing, though, from the Iranian officials is that they believe that this is the latest and most blatant sign that Israel is planning to attack Iran and attack it sometime soon.
Now you can see very clearly.
Sasa mwaweza kuona kwa wazi kabisa.
The words of this prophecy.
Maneno ya unabii huu.
Beginning to take shape.
Yakianza kutimia.
In a most serious form.
Katika namna ya kumaanisha zaidi.
That the nations of the earth.
Ambayo mataifa ya ulimwengu.
Have never ever seen.
Hayajawahi kamwe kuona.
You've heard how there is panic in the reportage.
Mumesikia jinsi kuna kuogopa na kutetemeka katika zile ripoti.
From the major news networks.
Toka katika mitandao mikuu ya habari.
On the fact that now there is intelligence information that Israel might strike Iran either in this coming month, April or May or June. That is just how soon everything is happening now.
Ya kwamba kuna habari za ndani kabisa ambazo zinakuja ya kwamba Israeli wanaweza kugonga Iran mwezi ujao wa Aprili ama mwezi wa 5 wa Mei ama mwezi wa 6 wa Julai wa Juni.
And that's why I want to look at this very significant war.
Na ndio maana nataka kuangazia hivi vita vilivyo vya muhimu sana.
In the Bible.
Katika Biblia.
And then I will also cover a very sensitive place.
Na pia nitashughulikia mahali pengine palipo nyeti sana.
Not only covering the two wars and how they relate to the coming of Christ.
Na sio kuhusiana tu na hivi vita viwili na vile ambavyo vinaambatana na kurudi kwake Masia.
But I would also like to cover for you the role of Iran in biblical prophecy.
Lakini pia ningependa kushughulikia pamoja nawe jukumu la Iran katika unabii wa nyakati za mwisho.
First of all, I would just like to read
kwanza,
the book of Revelation chapter 19, then I'll pull for you some very key features that relates to this kind of war.
Kwanza kabisa
this particular war.
Kwanza kabisa ningependa kusoma nanyi katika kitabu cha Ufunuo wa Yohana mlango wa 19 na kisha nitawaleteni vipengele vya muhimu zaidi vinavyoambatana na vita hivi.
From verse 6, Revelation 19, from verse 6 to verse 9.
Ni Ufunuo wa Yohana 19 kuanzia mstari wa 6 mpaka wa 9.
As we have routinely read regarding the wedding of the Lamb of God.
Kama vile mara kwa mara tumesoma kuhusiana na harusi ya mwanakondoo wa Mungu.
And I'm going to link this up for you with the war that Ezekiel the prophet saw in Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39.
Na nitaweza kuambatanishia hii na vita vile ambavyo nabii Ezekieli aliona katika Ezekieli 38 na Ezekieli 39.
From verse 6 he says, Revelation chapter 19 verse 6.
Ufunuo wa Yohana mlango wa 19 kuanzia mstari wa 6 anasema hivi.
Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters.
Kisha nikasikia sauti kama sauti ya umati mkubwa wa watu, kama sauti ya maji mengi yaendayo kasi.
And like loud peals of thunder shouting.
Na kama ngurumo kubwa ya radi ikisema.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
For our Lord God Almighty reigns.
Kwa maana Bwana Mungu wetu mwenyezi anamiliki.
Let us rejoice.
Na tukafurahi.
And be glad.
Tukashangilie.
And give him glory.
Na kumpa utukufu.
For the wedding of the Lamb has come.
Kwa maana arusi ya mwanakondoo imewadia.
And his bride has made herself ready.
Na bibi arusi wake amejiweka tayari.
Fine linen.
Kitani nzuri.
Bright and clean.
Safi ingarayo.
Was given her to wear.
Amepewa kuvalia.
Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints.
Hiyo kitani safi inawakilisha matendo ya haki ya watakatifu.
Then the angel said to me.
Ndipo yule malaika akaniambia.
Write.
Andika haya.
Blessed are those who are invited.
Wamebarikiwa wale walioalikwa.
To the wedding supper of the Lamb.
Kwenye karamu ya arusi ya mwana kondoo.
And he added.
Naye akaongezea.
These are the true words of God.
Haya ndiyo maneno ya kweli ya Mungu.
At this.
Kwa haya.
I fell at his feet.
Ndipo nikaanguka kifudifudi miguuni pake.
To worship him.
Ili kumwabudu.
But he said to me.
Lakini yeye akaniambia.
Do not do it.
Usifanye hivyo.
I am a fellow servant with you.
Mimi pia ni mtumishi mwenzako pamoja na ndugu zako.
And with your brothers.
Na ndugu zako.
Who hold to the testimony of Jesus.
Walio na ushuhuda wa Yesu.
Worship God.
Mwabudu Mungu.
For the testimony of Jesus.
Maana ushuhuda wa Yesu
is the spirit of prophecy.
Ndiyo roho ya unabii.
Verse 11.
Mstari wa 11.
I saw, first of all, before I go to verse 11.
Kwanza kabisa kabla niende katika mstari wa 11.
You see that verses 6 to verse 10.
Waona ya kwamba mstari wa 6 mpaka wa 10.
Essentially celebrate the wedding of the Lamb of God.
Kimsingi anasherekea arusi ya mwanakondoo wa Mungu.
The rapture of the church.
Unyakuzi wa kanisa.
The gathering of the saints in the glory of the Lord.
Kuwakusanya watakatifu katika utukufu wa Mungu.
The entry of the elect of God in the church into the kingdom of God.
Kuingia kwa wateule wa Mungu kanisani katika ufalme wa Mungu.
The deliverance of the righteous church.
Ukombozi wa kanisa la uhaki.
Into the kingdom of God.
Katika ufalme wa Mungu.
Verses 6 to verse 10.
Mstari wa 6 hadi wa 10.
It is well celebrated.
Imesherekewa vyema kabisa.
Well highlighted.
Na kusisitizwa vyema kabisa.
And well established in the word.
Na kuimarishwa vyema katika neno.
It is established in heaven.
Imeimarishwa mbinguni.
And established on the earth.
Na imeimarishwa hapa chini duniani.
But I want to move on to Revelation chapter 19 from verse 11 onwards.
Lakini nataka nisonge katika Ufunuo mlango wa 19 kuanzia mstari wa 11 kuendelea.
So that I may illustrate to you.
Ya kwamba nikapate kuwaonesheni.
The sensitivity.
Ule umakinifu.
Of this Iran, Israel-Iran war that I have been prophesying across the entire globe.
Wa hivi vita vya Israeli na Irani ambavyo nimekuwa nikivitabiri kote kote duniani.
And extensively.
Tena kwa urefu na upana.
So let us walk from verse 11 of Revelation 19 onwards.
Kwa hivyo tuanze safari ya kuanza katika Ufunuo 19 mstari wa 11 kuendelea.
He says,
asema,
I saw heaven standing open.
Kisha nikaona mbingu imefunguka.
And there before me was a white horse.
Na hapo mbele yangu akiwepo farasi mweupe.
Whose rider is called Faith. Full and true.
Ambaye yeye aliyempanda huyo farasi anaitwa mwaminifu na wa kweli.
With justice he judges and makes war.
Yeye huhukumu kwa haki na kupigana vita.
His eyes are like blazing fire.
Macho yake ni kama miali ya moto.
And on his head are many crowns.
Na juu ya kichwa chake kuna taji nyingi.
He has a name written on him.
Alikuwa na jina liloandikwa juu yake.
That no one knows.
Ambaye hakuna mtu anayelijua.
But he himself.
Isipokuwa yeye mwenyewe.
He is dressed in a robe.
Alikuwa amevaa vazi.
Dipped in blood.
Lilochovwa kwenye damu.
And his name is the word of God.
Na jina lake ni neno la Mungu.
The armies of heaven.
Majeshi ya mbinguni.
Were following him.
Walikuwa wakimfuata.
Riding on white horses.
Wakiwa wamepanda farasi weupe.
And dressed in fine linen.
Hali wamevaa mavazi ya kitani nzuri.
White and clean.
Nyeupe na safi.
Out of his mouth.
Toka kinywani mwake.
Comes a sharp sword.
Mulitoka upanga mkali.
With which he strikes down the nations.
Ambao kwa huo atayaangusha mataifa.
You see, there is one war already being mentioned here.
Waona tayari kuna vita moja vinatajwa hapa.
But please bear with me.
Lakini tafadhali nivumilie.
I like the fact.
Napenda swala kwamba.
That in this kesha.
Ya kwamba katika kesha hii.
The Lord kept the best wine.
Bwana aliweka divai nzuri zaidi.
Up to now.
Mpaka wa sasa.
He kept the best wine.
Aliweka divai nzuri.
And now he's giving it last.
Na sasa anaipeana ya mwisho.
And people are asking.
Na watu wanauliza.
You mean you kept all the best wine?
Yani unamaanisha uliweka divai yote nzuri.
The choicest of wine.
Ile divai bora zaidi.
Up to this late.
Hadi wakati huu wa kuchelewa.
Up to this hour.
Mpaka saa hii.
Because people always.
Manake watu kwa kawaida.
Present the best wine first.
Huwasilisha divai nzuri kwanza.
And when people have drunk enough of the best wine.
Na wakati watu wamekunywa vya kutosha divai nzuri.
And it's exhausted.
Na imekwisha.
Then the poorer wine.
Basi ile divai ambayo ni ovyo kiasi.
Is presented to them.
Inawasilishwa kwao.
And in this case today.
Na katika kesho hii usiku
wa leo. You can now see.
Waweza kuona.
That the best wine.
Ya kwamba divai nzuri sana.
The Lord kept.
Bwana aliweka.
Until now.
Mpaka wa sasa.
And he's saying
na anasema,
that there is a war here again.
Kwamba kuna vita hapa tena.
I'll explain to you, bear with me.
Nitaelezea, nivumilie.
He says,
anasema,
the armies of heaven were following him.
Na majeshi ya mbinguni walikuwa wakimfuata.
Riding on white horses.
Wakiwa wamepanda farasi weupe.
And dressed in fine linen.
Hali wamevaa mavazi ya kitani nzuri.
White and clean.
Nyeupe safi.
Out of his mouth.
Toka kinywani mwake.
Comes a sharp sword.
Mulitoka upanga mkali.
With which he strikes down the nations.
Ambao kwa huo atayaangusha mataifa.
He will rule them with an iron scepter.
Atayatawala kwa fimbo yake ya utawala ya chuma.
He treats the wine press.
Atalikanyaga shinikizo la mvinyo.
Of the fury of the wrath.
Wa ghadhabu ya hasira.
Of God.
Ya Mungu.
One, or he says, on his robe.
Na anasema kwenye vazi lake.
And on his tie.
Na kwenye paja lake.
He has a name written.
Liliandikwa jina hili.
King of kings.
Mfalme wa wafalme.
And Lord of lords.
Na Bwana wa mabwana.
And I saw an angel.
Nami nikamuona malaika.
Standing in the sun.
Amesimama ndani ya jua.
Who cried in a loud voice, sorry.
Akaita kwa sauti kuu.
To all the birds.
Ndege wote.
Flying mid-air.
Warukao angani.
Come.
Njoni.
Gather together.
Kusanyikeni pamoja.
For the great supper.
Kwa ajili ya karamu kubwa.
Of God.
Ya Mungu.
So that. You may eat
ili mpate kula
the flesh of kings
nyama ya wafalme
generals
na ya wa majemedari
and mighty men
na ya mashujaa.
Oh hallelujah. And he says of horses
na anasema na ya farasi
and their riders
na ya wapanda farasi
and the flesh of all people
na nyama ya wanadamu wote
free and slaves
walio huru na watumwa
small and great.
Wadogo na wakubwa.
Verse 19 is very critical.
Mstari wa 19 ni nyeti sana.
Then I saw the beast.
Kisha nikamuona yule mnyama.
And the kings of the earth.
Na wafalme wa dunia.
And their armies gathered.
Pamoja na majeshi yao wakiwa wamekusanyika.
Together.
Pamoja.
To make war
ili kupigana vita
against the rider of the white horse
dhidi ya yule aliyempanda huyo farasi mweupe
and his army
pamoja na jeshi lake.
Verse 20 is critical.
Mstari wa 20 ni nyeti.
But the beast
lakini yule mnyama
was captured
akakamatwa
and with him the false prophet
pamoja na huyo nabii wa uongo.
Let me repeat that.
Wacha nirudie hiyo.
But the beast
lakini yule mnyama
was captured.
Akakamatwa.
And with him.
Pamoja naye.
The false prophet.
Na huyo nabii wa uongo.
Who performed.
Ambaye alikuwa amefanya.
The miraculous sign.
Ishara.
On his behalf.
Kwa niaba ya huyo mnyama.
With this sign.
Ambaye kwa ishara hizi.
He had deluded.
Aliwadanganya.
Those who had received the mark.
Wale waliopokea chapa.
Of the beast.
Ya huyo mnyama.
And worshipped his image.
Na kuiabudu sanamu yake.
The two of them.
Hawa wawili.
And I mean here, he's talking about the beast and the false prophet.
Nami namaanisha hapa kwamba ananena juu ya huyo mnyama na nabii wa uongo.
The two of them.
Hawa wawili.
Were thrown alive.
Wakatupwa wakiwa hai.
Into the fiery lake.
Katika ziwa la moto.
Of burning sulfur.
Liwakalo kwa kiberiti.
The rest of them.
Wale waliosaliwa.
Were killed with a sword.
Waliuawa kwa upanga.
That came out of the mouth.
Uliotoka kinywani.
Of the rider on the horse.
Mwa yule aliyekuwa mempanda huyo farasi mweupe.
And all the birds.
Nao ndege wote.
Gorged themselves.
wakajishibisha
on their flesh.
Kwa nyama yao.
In other words,
kwa maneno mengine,
the birds became engorged.
Ya kwamba wale ndege wakashibishwa.
Listen, precious people.
Nisikize watu wa dhamani.
I want to explain to you very, very carefully.
Nataka kuwaelezeni kwa makini sana sana.
So you may understand this very sensitive information.
Ili ya kwamba mkaelewa huu ujumbe ulionyeti sana.
It's absolutely critical.
Nyeti sana sana.
This is a secret of God.
Hii ni siri ya Mungu.
These are the secrets of heaven.
Hizi ni siri za mbinguni.
That the Lord is releasing in these last days.
Ambazo Bwana anaachilia katika hizi siku za mwisho.
I want to explain to you.
Nataka niwaelezeni.
What he's talking about in Revelation 19 here.
Kile ambacho ananena juu yake hapa katika Ufunuo 19.
Says,
anasema,
from verse 6 all the way to verse 10.
Kuanzia mstari wa 6 kuteremka mpaka wa 10.
That there will be the gathering of the saints.
Ya kwamba kutakuwepo na kukusanywa kwa wateule.
That the rapture will take place.
Ya kuwa unyakuzi utatendeka.
That the resurrection of the holy dead.
Ya kwamba kufufuliwa kwa wafu takatifu.
And then,
na kisha,
he says, the translation of the living Christians,
kubadilishwa kwa wakristo walio hai,
the holy living,
wakristo walio hai takatifu,
so the holy dead,
kwa hivyo wafu takatifu,
resurrected,
wanafufuliwa,
and given glorious bodies,
na wanapewa miili ya utukufu.
Right now they are bones,
hivi sasa wao ni mifupa,
rotten bones,
mifupa iliyooza,
but they will be given glorious bodies,
lakini watapewa miili ya utukufu,
and glorious garments,
na mavazi ya utukufu,
upon that resurrection,
wakati wa huo ufufuo,
and then,
na kisha,
they will be pulled up,
watavutwa,
just like I have prophesied.
Sawa sawa na vile nilivyotabiri.
Extensively.
Tena kwa upana.
Across the entire earth.
Kote kote katika dunia nzima.
On how the rapture will take place.
Jinsi ya vile unyakuzi utafanyika.
Especially.
Hasa sana.
Or in this case here.
Katika kesi hii hapa.
The rapture of the holy dead.
Unyakuzi wa wafu takatifu.
And I've said,
na nimesema,
that it is the glory of the Messiah,
ya kuwa ni utukufu wa Masia,
that beams on the earth,
ambao unang'aa juu ya nchi,
when that day arrives,
wakati hiyo siku itafika,
and that authoritative glory,
na hayo, na huo utukufu wenye mamlaka,
the glory with power,
utukufu wenye nguvu,
will be able to open the tombs,
utaweza kufungua makaburi,
and pull them out,
na kuwavuta kuwatowesha inje.
And I've always described,
na kila mara nimeelezea,
how at first when they're pulled out,
wakati mara ya kwanza wanapovutwa,
the glory,
ule utukufu,
is actually mixed with the dust,
kwa hakika umechanganyika na mavumbi,
until they go into the pure glory of God,
hadi wanapoingia katika utukufu halisi wa Mungu,
where there is no dust,
ambapo hamna chembe chembe za
mchanga. And I see the Messiah receive them.
Na ninaona Masihi akiwapokea.
And yet,
na ili hali,
the holy living Christians,
Wakristo takatifu walio hai pia,
they will be translated,
watageuzwa,
and they will catch up with them in the sky,
na wataungana pamoja naye pale angani,
and the heaven will open,
na mbingu itafunguka,
and the two groups will enter,
na vile vikundi viwili vitaingia,
and the cloud will close the heaven,
na wingu litafunga mbingu.
Hallelujah. You've been listening to the Prophecy at the Midnight Hour. That's Mighty Prophet Dr. David Edward Awar sharing the prophecy of the four apocalyptic horsemen and really what the Bible is all about to the church, entering into rapture, the coming of the Messiah. And as we heard, precious listeners, throughout the United States and planet Earth, these are the secrets of the kingdom of God. These are the secrets of our Lord and Savior being shared today with the church, with the people of the Lord. Don't we know there have been hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of commentaries and diatribes and dialectics for the book of Revelation. And scholars and theologians. And now, after all of that pile of wood, we finally see the revelation straight from the throne of our Lord, sharing it with his children, sharing it with the church. So this is man's philosophy or man's ideas. This is directly from the throne of our God through the mighty prophet. What a blessed time, an unbelievably blessed time to be alive, where we don't need to eat junk food in the rumor court. We can eat the hot bread from heaven, the manna from heaven. We don't have to eat scraps or speculation or all of these theories of the book peddlers and men and men's ideas and the theologians and their ideas. Know the Lord, he has sent his servant to share with the church. I want you to know that it's free. The Lord shares the word of the Lord for free at no cost. The prophet of the Lord, just as all the prophets of the Lord, shared the word for free. They sold nothing. And in fact, we see with just, this is just one example, but we see with Elisha, when the Assyrian offered gold and silver and garments, it was rejected outright. And when Gehazi went for the silver and the garments, leprosy clung to him. For the word of the Lord is given to the children of the Lord, and it is without cost, the healings of the Lord, without cost, the secrets of the kingdom of God, without cost. It costs the Lord everything, the ultimate price. Our Savior was crucified, then resurrected by the mighty Holy Spirit. Very, very good news. These are the secrets of the kingdom of God that we're hearing for many, many people, unfortunately, the very, very first time. And obviously, it's very startling. And yet, when we look in the Bible, we see the word of the Lord manifesting. When we look around today with the headlines that are everywhere, and we see the word of the Lord coming to pass before our very eyes, we see that the prophecy at the midnight hour now sounds more like the prophecy at the last second, as we are running out of time very, very quickly. This was the prophecy of the Iran and Israel nuclear war that we heard the mighty prophet share and has been shared across the globe. That's North America, South America, Africa, Europe, Asia, and Australia, every continent on planet Earth. And you heard the mighty prophet, since 2005, the Lord has been sharing this soon-to-be war with Iran and how that lines up and aligns with the prophecy of the four apocalyptic horsemen, where the pale horse is deceit, excuse me, where the white horse is deceit, the red horse of war, the black horse of economic famine and famine, and the pale horse of death. If we look at all the standards in the Bible, but the greatest prophecy Jesus ever gave to the church is the prediction he released while seated on the Mount of Olives to the apostles. We know it as the Olivet prophecy. That's because in that prophecy, as we just heard the prophet conclude, the Lord Jesus revealed the spiritual landmarks that would denote the dispensational course for his return and the signs of the end of the age. For when the Messiah returns first, the saints, the holy church, the holy body, those that are prepared will enter into the kingdom of God. Those that are wearing the garment of the Lord, the garment of righteousness, that are walking with agreement with the mighty, the Holy Spirit. How critical. This return is the signs of the end of the age. When we take a look at the four horsemen of the apocalypse that we've just heard and the segment that we just heard, we see how it punctuates the major spiritual landmarks on the clock of God Almighty. This is where we are today. This isn't 1,000 years past or 1,000 years future. We are that generation. Since 1948, that generation where end times began with the rebirth of Israel. This has been discussed in the Bible by the mighty Holy Spirit as it was penned. Many Christians have lived their lives and gone to sleep to the dust of the earth without ever living to see this moment of the release of these horsemen. And yet here we are eyewitnesses. It is a tremendous privilege to this generation that we would truly live to see the dispensation and the manifestation of these four horsemen. It's a lavishing of love, and we shared this last week, for the Lord to stir the church, to stir our hearts, to waken the slumbering bride, and to prepare her for the coming of the Messiah. This is the prophecy at the midnight hour, and we are live. It's Wednesday, July 9th, 2014. It is 8:40 Eastern Standard Time, and we've been listening to the war with Iran and the pale horse of Revelation revealed to the church, as well as the church's entry into the rapture. I'm your co-host for this segment. We're broadcasting out of Rockville, Maryland, a suburb of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. My name is Pastor Louis Lupo of Maryland Altar, and with me in the studio today by phone from California Altar is Pastor Jose. Pastor Jose, if you're still with us, I know there was a lot of material, a lot of ground was covered. What has the Lord put on your heart segment?
Amen, Pastor Lou, and all the precious listeners that are tuned in. Very powerful what we just heard. And what Pastor Lou had mentioned, that there is no money taken here at all. That is one of the major markers that separates the ministry of the Lord from the ministry of the world. And we, and I can speak clearly from the church in the United States of America, is the famine that is on this land. And we are seeing prophecy after prophecy being revealed before our very eyes. And we are hearing the voice of the mighty Holy Spirit loud and clear, but yet the church in America refuses to listen, refuses to hear. There is still so much pride in the church in America. The pride is what brings down the servants of the Lord. Humility is a marker of the highway of holiness. And to hear the voice of the Lord. The pale horse, we are seeing it even louder and clearer today as we are seeing the destruction right now that is beginning to happen in the Gaza Strip and Israel, calling up 40,000 reserve troops. We are seeing this new caliphate thundering through Iraq, conquering town after town, going into Syria. The pale horse is running rampant throughout the Middle East and will be crossing the land of the whole earth. And we are seeing this loud and clear. And we are getting the clear revelation of all these prophecies by the Holy Spirit through the mighty servant of the Lord. But yet we still see the church in America reject the message, reject the voice. We are clearly seeing and acknowledging the in Revelation chapter 3, the church in Laodicea, looking so much to the church in the United States of America. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 16 through, I will read Revelation chapter 3, 15 through 18. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. Precious saints, the church in America right now is blind and deaf in the spirit. We are seeing the work of the Lord, the largest revival in the history of the Bible, taking place. But yet, the church in America fails to see this, cannot see it, cannot acknowledge it, cannot accept it. And that is because the church in America is still walking in the flesh. This revival is a revival of the spirit. It's a revival that brings true repentance to the hearts of those in this revival. Those who have turned away completely from the flesh and from the wickedness of this world, like we read earlier in the book of Romans chapter 6, we are to be crucified with the Lord on the cross. Our old ways are to be dead. We are to be walking in a completely different direction on the highway of holiness. That is the road that leads to the rapture of the bride. On that road is where you will prepare your garments, where you will find those who are also walking in repentance, seeking true holiness through the Spirit of the Lord, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not the righteousness of man, not the desires of man, not the ways of man written in the books by men, not seeking to build a business by the structure that men design. This is the Lord's church, and the Lord will build his church, and the Lord will prepare his bride. We need to be submissive to him in complete humility, in complete surrender, in complete repentance, and complete acknowledgement that our ways always fail. Our ways, the flesh will never inherit the kingdom of God. The flesh will not inherit and will not enter into the rapture, no matter which way you try to look at it. You cannot deny this messenger that is clearly speaking the words of the Lord and is clearly preparing the bride of the Lord. These are revelations that those who have been reading the word of the Lord for years and years is this is powerful. This is the word of the Lord coming to life, the answers that everyone has been searching for. We are seeing them come to pass. Our Lord has returned to prepare those who are willing to prepare their hearts, to prepare their garments, to surrender, to enter into the kingdom of God. These are eternal consequences, precious saints, that will be the outcome of this. There is no second chance. Once the Lord returns for his bride, he will shut the door, just like in the days of Noah. And you can't hit the rewind button. It will not be replayed. It will not be rewritten. What will be done will be done. Thank you, Pastor Lou.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Jose. It's Pastor Jose Bobadilla from the California altar. You heard quite clearly from Pastor Jose, precious listeners, about the mighty end time revival that is global. And it's very heartbreaking to see from a position here in America. We rejoice with the Lord and rejoice with the nations, but our heart breaks and melts within us like wax when we realize that, oh, in the United States, they're not even aware, and yet it is in broad daylight, in global media, all throughout the Internet, and we have a country of 350 million people, 300 million, which say that they call upon the name of the Lord. So if we just do a little simple rudimentary math, out of 300 million, you would expect maybe 1% or 2%, that's roughly 6 million, would be aware of the Lord's mighty Joel 2:28 end time revival, but they are not. The revival is a spiritual revival. It's not about money. It's not about growing the congregation or growing the business or growing personal stature and notoriety or self-aggrandizement. It is a revival in the kingdom of God to harvest souls to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. It is a revival of repentance to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. It's about entry into the kingdom of God. And yet this revival is in broad daylight. It reminds me of a short story written long ago called The Purloined Letter. In that short story, the objective was, how do you hide a letter, or purloined being Old English for stolen? And the idea was, just leave it out there in the open, and everyone will overlook it. And the ways of our Lord are so marvelous, because here we have a global revival where nations such as Chile and Angola, now Congo, Brazzaville, and others are in revival. It's in broad daylight. It's not hidden. And yet, the nation with the most Christians on planet Earth isn't even aware, and it's not hidden at all. Not one bit. And these are the ways of our Lord. They are marvelous. And we hope that from the teachings and from the messages of the Lord, and it's our prayer, and I know it's Pastor Jose's heartfelt prayer too, that when the precious listeners hear this, that they tune their spiritual ears and the Lord would open their spiritual eyes, and then they would see that, alas, after 2,000 years, the church has the revelation now from heaven. After decades and decades of suffering here, especially in the United States, all the false teachers, all the false prophets, all of the nonsense, all of the money grubbing, the witchcraft, the sorcery, all the abominations that we see in the house of the Lord, not outside the church, in the house of the Lord. After suffering through all of that, the Lord sends his mighty servant. And just as the Lord sent Moses for the Israelites and their deliverance to prepare them to enter into the promised land, the Lord has done so again and sent a servant to free us from the bondage of a fallen church where corruption is rampant. The corruption is now in the world. When you hear righteousness and you hear holiness, those words are foreign and they should not be. They should not be. They should, in fact, be core and central to all of our walks. But this is the light of Christ within us. We are the light to the world. And so we see consistently that from the white horse, as Christ taught, the deception. And now that the church is deceived, the whole country is deceived, and the businesses and the leaders and throughout, and we see the global deception and horseman after horseman, and a compounding effect becomes most accretive to the point that you see we're reaching now in the news the climax. And that too is in broad daylight. And our Lord has told us in advance, and the Lord has given us the signs and the signposts and the markers in advance, and our Messiah has told us so in the Word many times in advance. And we also read in John chapter 14 when the Lord spoke specifically that he would send the mighty Holy Spirit, the helper, the comforter, that we would not be left as an orphan. Let's read John chapter 14. This is John chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. The Lord has shared this too in advance just for this day, and see how this wraps up in a bundle, Romans chapter 6, that we heard Pastor Jose read from at the top of the hour. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize I am in my Father, and you are in me, and that I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. Now, verse 21, this is where many are going to be somewhat confused here in the United States, especially about the commands, and they'll start commingling the law and the grace, and they'll say, oh, that's Old Testament, this isn't applicable. But I want you to know clearly that the holiness of the Lord changes not, and the righteousness of the Lord changes not. We approach the Lord holy, for he is holy. And we execute in righteousness, for we are to be just like our Heavenly Father. He is righteous, and the Word tells us repeatedly, be holy, your Father in heaven is holy. This is the message to the church today to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. we can see we have a number of unholy items all throughout our house, with the TV and the cable just for starters. We have unrighteous thoughts and unholy thoughts with clinging to covetousness, materialism, 401ks. We keep guns and gun collections to shoot our neighbors so we can keep our food stash to survive some horrific event that most, even in the pagan world, are well aware of, that things are deteriorating. But nothing will survive the wrath of the Lord. And we read clearly from the word of the Lord, Zephaniah 1:18. This is Zephaniah 1:18. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. And again, Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 19. Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 19. They will throw their silver into the streets, and their gold will be an unclean thing. Their silver and gold will not be able to save them in the day of the Lord's wrath. And the Lord has been clear with the church that that day is coming. The day of the Lord is coming, and we are to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. And so all of those unholy activities, all of those unrighteous deeds that the church has swept under the carpet and said, that's okay, we can just go ahead because we have so much grace to pretty much do what we want, they have in fact taken another road. And all of those unholy activities, and there are many in the United States, for the temptations are diverse, they're myriad, they are everywhere. And we see sexual sin, and whether it's in Hollywood movies or catalogs or on the streets, we see Matthew 5:28, where people are lusting in the daytime and in the evening and with their eyes and with their heart and with pornography. And the church sweeps that under the carpet and says no one sees and no one gets hurt, and they forgot that the Messiah was crucified for our sins. And that the Holy Spirit, his first name is Holy. And so if you want to lose the Comforter, the Counselor, the Anointing, the only friend we have, then go right on and sin and reject the Lord. Because that's what the church has done. And said, no, we don't want holiness, we don't want righteousness, and we want worldliness. And thus we see the power outage, the confusion, the deception, and the bondage to sin. We have very good news. The Lord, this day, heaven is open. This day, the blood of the Lamb flows freely to all who call upon the name of the Lord. This is the day of salvation, that anyone can repent. The Lord has not made it a difficult thing at all. And what's even more amazing is that the power of the blood of the Lamb is the power of deliverance that has never changed. It is the power of life, that one who was once in darkness, depression, bondage, suicidal thoughts, drug addiction, pornography, sexual immorality, alcoholism, you name the bondage, the blood of the Lamb has the power to break all curses and translate one from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And that's the message to the church at this moment in time, where all the signs are around us that the Messiah is coming, and she can't be found walking in darkness. She can't be found fellowshipping with the world. For if she is, she doesn't enter. And the Lord is clear throughout the Bible, whether Genesis, whether Ezekiel, or whether Romans 6, Galatians chapter 5, Hebrews 12, and it goes on. The Lord's very consistent. Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 3. The church does not repent she does not enter. Pastor Jose, we have a couple of minutes left. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with the precious listeners?
Amen, Pastor Lou. Yes, that's very powerful what you just shared. And the blood of the Lamb has the power to break all bondage, every type of bondage. There is nothing that occurs under the sun that cannot be transformed by the power of the blood. And I know that us here sharing today with you, precious saints, are perfect examples of the power, the precious power of the precious blood transforms those who were clearly walking in complete darkness, in complete violence, in complete destruction, in complete addiction to the world, to drugs, on the streets, imprisoned. Those type of lives can be transformed by the power of the blood. There is nothing that cannot be broken by the powerful, powerful, precious blood of our Lord Jesus that is still flowing today and that the church in America has forgotten about. The blood and the cross. The precious blood and the cross. And I want to share from the word of the Lord, as
Amen.
Every time I think of these scriptures, I can't deny that these are clearly speaking of the United States of America. And this is in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women, who are loaded down with sins, are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved mind, who as far as the faith is concerned are rejected, but they will not get very far, because as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. Precious saints, all of these characteristics, if you are acknowledging this is you, and here in America, and I can speak to myself first because I walked in every single one of these characteristics, and until I surrendered completely to the Lord, the precious blood of the Lamb transforms within, transforms you. The power of repentance is, I believe, the greatest miracle that can happen to a person. It transforms you from the inside out.
Amen.
And this is what is required in our walks, to be able to walk on the highway of holiness, to be able to walk on the path, that narrow road that leads to the kingdom of heaven, where the fear of the Lord is a must, where you will fear the Lord, where you will seek Him and Him alone, when the world and all its ways will become sour, a sour taste in your mouth, will lose the desires of the world and the hunger, the fire of the Holy Spirit will now live in you, will dwell in you, will empower you to seek Him and Him alone. And you will learn. He will teach you. He is the greatest teacher. He is the skillful one, the one that comes to teach with authority, who will transform you and give you what is required to be acceptable before the Lord, to be a vessel of honor, not a vessel of dishonor, as we all are vessels in the house of the Lord. It is our choice whether we want to be a vessel of honor or of dishonor. And we need to surrender. We need to make the decision today, because tomorrow is never promised. We can't even make that promise to our own children that they will wake up tomorrow. We have no power, precious saints. Not all the money in the world can guarantee any of us that we will wake up tomorrow. But I guarantee you one thing, that if we are not walking in the ways of the Lord, if we are not walking in complete repentance, in righteousness, in the holiness of the Lord, we will wake up somewhere very unpleasant. And that will be for eternity, eternal torment, eternal torture. We can't even begin to say the length of eternity, because it's never ending. Or how sensitive the pain will be. We need to surrender to the Lord and to hear His voice. If we call on the Lord with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our souls, He will answer the door, because He is standing there knocking. His desire is that every soul would come to repentance. Precious saints, it is time to accept the Lord today. You cannot wait another minute, another hour, another day, another week, because they are never promised. Pastor Lou, I would like to give a salvation prayer and
Hallelujah.
welcome any and all who would like to accept the Lord and who would like to begin the walk with the Lord, the transformation
Amen.
Of the soul. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, and I repent of all my sins. Please wash my sins with the precious blood of Jesus today. I turn away from all sin, and I receive you into my heart today as my Lord and Savior. Please write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and please send me the Holy Spirit to help me live in holiness, establish your word in my heart, and protect my heart. In the mighty name of Jesus, I am born again today. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Pastor
Luke. Thank you, Pastor Jose. And precious listeners, if you've prayed that prayer, a couple of items to begin. And one is to get a Bible or to open their Bible if you have one, and to stay rooted in the foundation of the Word of God. And the Word will begin to wash you clean. The Word of the Lord tells us that we are to wash with the Word and to read the Word and stand on the Word. And then, of course, you must be prepared, given the fallen nature of the church in the United States, to stand alone until the Lord works a local fellowship. But do get connected with other fellow believers, those that are walking on the highway of holiness, those that are pursuing righteousness, those that are pursuing the Lord, not those that give lip service and then their heart is far from the Lord, and not those that put on a wonderful masquerade face on Sunday, and then the other 6 days of a week they live a second double agent life. But those two things, to get rooted in the Word and to be filled with the mighty Holy Spirit and walk with the Lord, but in the United States also be prepared to stand alone, as there are far more of the children of the Lord outside of the building than there are inside of the building. But I want to give you some resources also. The website is, and this is, these are all free resources, no love offering, no catch, no spam, no donation, no fooling, all of them string free. First is www.repentandprepareTheWay, that's one word, repentandprepareTheWay.org, www.repentandprepareTheWay.org. There's many teachings, videos, MP3 files, as well as PDFs and teachings from the mighty prophet and the oracles of the Lord, what the Lord is speaking to the church this day. And also there is JesusIsLordRadio.info. That's one word too, JesusIsLordRadio.info, for holy music and the Word of the Lord. And it's on the internet, and you won't have to tolerate sensual and lascivious commercials or any of that we see, unfortunately, even in Christian programming or alleged Christian programming throughout the United States, because the corruption has reached Christian radio, the corruption has reached Christian TV, such that the Word of the Lord has come to pass. The name of the Lord is blasphemed amongst the Gentiles because of us, because of what the church has done. But those two resources, repentandprepareTheWay.org and JesusIsLordRadio.info, are excellent resources, all free. And then, of course, on the web, too, there are many, many free online Bible sites, such as, you know, BibleGateway.com. And for the Spanish speakers, there's also Spanish versions on BibleGateway.com. And I believe, Pastor Jose, there's a Rapiente.com org?
Yes, Pastor Lou, it's arrepientate.org.
Oh.
Arrepientate.org. And then we also, for amen. Yeah, there's also on Facebook, Repent USA, and then the Highway of Holiness .us. That is Highway of Holiness .us. These, like Pastor mentioned, all this is free. There is, on Jesus Lord Radio, you can also find the link on repentandprepare.org. There's a link right on there that you click it and it'll go right to it. And like Pastor Lou mentioned, there's no advertising, there's no selling space for advertisement. You're not going to hear commercials. This is a holy radio station. This is true worship music and true servants of the Lord that are operating radio stations and these websites. And all of this is anointed and is the websites and the radio station of the Lord. And it's all ran by the mighty Holy Spirit. Thank you, Pastor Lou.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Jose. And as Pastor Jose mentioned, these are the works of the Lord. And there just isn't any time. There's no time. This is not the time to be mingling money and the gospel. That time is over. This is a much more critical dispensation right now. This is the hour to enter. This is the moment to enter. This isn't time to worry about what our 401k looks like. This isn't the time to worry about my retirement or my second via home or whatever it may be. There's no time for that anymore. That time is over. And hopefully and prayerfully, as the Holy Spirit would open the spiritual ears and the spiritual eyes of the listeners, as we listen to the message of the Lord, you can see how very, very close we are. And as our Lord and Savior told us, what is it, and what good would it be if a man were to inherit the world but to lose his soul? What sort of trade is that? And as you heard as well from Pastor Jose, no man is promised tomorrow. Our Lord is very clear on that. And nothing needs to happen between now and then in order for the Messiah to return. Nothing needs to transpire. Nothing needs to be fulfilled for the Messiah to suddenly appear by surprise, catch the entire globe off guard. And our Lord tells us that's exactly what he's going to do. So we must prepare. This is the time to prepare. Not the time to be mixing messages, not the time to be listening to disparate voices, not the time to be entertaining sin, and certainly not the time to be mixing with money. And with that, we'll close this segment of the prophecy of the four apocalyptic horsemen. You're listening to the prophecy at the midnight hour, and you are with Pastor Louis Lupo of Maryland Altar, and we are blessed to have Pastor Jose Bobadilla of the California Altar. And until Sunday, and as the Lord leads and as the Lord tarries, shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom.